Friend Dr. Jeff Rippett is on the other end of the line this morning. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Hey, morning, Tom. I'm doing well. Living in Groundhog Day like everybody else.
Yeah, Groundhog Day. I know. I noticed that there was some survey about the relevancy of that movie has increased, actually. Before I get to the core topic this morning, you know, last time you and I talked, you said, look, I've treated so many COVID-19 patients, I've kind of lost count. What have you learned since you and I spoke last time?
I think the biggest thing, kind of looking back over the past 6 months, is that in my own practice, it's clearly come in some waves. And what I see in my practice doesn't always necessarily mirror what's happening in southern Illinois as a greater region. So I think there's probably even micro regions within southern Illinois. You know, I live in practice in Murfreesboro, so most of my patients tend to come from the Murfreesboro area, but I see a good chunk of people from, Chester, Carbondale, Williamson County also. But I would say that's the big thing. Kind of when I see one or two people come in, it feels like there's a whole bunch of cases within that next week, and then it might be quiet for a little while before it happens all over again.
And you know what's interesting is that actually plays into the subject this morning. I asked Dr. Rippett to join us because of and he and I have talked many times over these years about the need for flu shots. But when it comes to flu shots and the coronavirus, you kind of stand back and you want to, for lack of a better word, stop any confusion in the healthcare marketplace. And when it comes to resources and testing, there's a lot of points to be made here. I mean, it's a convergence of issues.
It really is. And the big issue becomes the people who get really, really, really sick from influenza get a condition called ARDS, adult or acute respiratory distress syndrome, which is also the same condition that people with COVID get when they get really, really, really sick. It's basically a form of severe viral pneumonia. It causes this massive inflammation in the lungs. And because both diseases tend to cause the same condition, we healthcare providers fear that getting one condition is going to predispose people to getting the other conditions. In other words, getting flu on top of COVID or getting COVID on top of flu. But, you know, the real hard part about this coming year is we honestly don't know for sure what that's going to mean. You know, I can imagine that people who have had COVID are more susceptible to the flu. I can imagine that it's not going to make a whole lot of difference. I can imagine that it's, you know, going to be a much worse flu season, or I can imagine that because of social distancing and mask wearing, it's going to be a much better flu season. There's just a lot of unknowns.
Yeah, and one of those unknowns annually is the efficacy of the flu virus vaccine. And you know, because people go, well, I have such a small chance. But you touched on this when you talk about ARDS, is the confusion in the diagnostics and the prospect of overwhelming the testing system when somebody has a flu and not COVID.
Yeah, correct. There's just a pretty good amount of overlap in symptoms and kind of the way we test. And if somebody comes into my office with a fever and a cough this winter, muscle aches, that kind of stuff, you know, in years past, we would have said this is a no-brainer, it's flu. But, you know, this year coming up, of course, somebody comes in with that. We're going to have to do all the COVID precautions, figure out how to test the person for COVID and flu, develop some protocols to try to figure out, does that person need to quarantine? So what if somebody comes in with those symptoms, they test positive for the flu? Do we say, okay, this is definitely the flu, go home, or does that person need to quarantine and self-isolate for a couple of days until we get the COVID test results back? So, I mean, this is a new situation within a new situation that we're all still kind of working through.
You know, it's interesting because you and I talked about this once. I don't know if you remember it because, well, it's your job, and you stand out to me. And we talked about influenza is respiratory. It's not involving the digestive tract, whereas COVID-19 has that prospect. And some people say, well, I've got the flu, but they're talking about running to the bathroom frequently, something along that line, right?
Instead of it, yeah.
You know, so you got, go ahead.
Oh, just colloquially, and I do this too, you know, there's an illness called the stomach flu, which is not influenza. It's actually a condition called viral gastroenteritis that causes vomiting, diarrhea, sometimes fever, sometimes not, usually runs its course over a few days. So some people will confuse that with true influenza, which is a respiratory illness. And in the vast majority of people, influenza doesn't cause any sort of stomach symptoms. But, I mean, I remember, you know, my grandmother would use the phrase stomach flu, and it's just kind of one of those old-timey names that has stuck around, and it's inaccurate, but, man, it captures exactly the picture of what you're trying to present.
You know, it's kind of interesting, and I don't know that you know this, but it was on this date In 1928, the Scottish bacteriologist Alexander Fleming discovers penicillin. He's studying influenza.
Yeah, that's that. I hope I'm not talking down to anybody, but that's kind of a fascinating story. He put some spores on a plate and was trying to study something totally different, and his experiment got contaminated. So he figured out that spores from mold killed off the growth of bacteria, and that turned into penicillin. And initially, the story goes, he was kind of upset because his experiments were ruined, and I don't even know what it was he was trying to study at the start, but what he wound up figuring out was way more important than what he was studying, I'm sure.
Right, and so because he had a small budget when cleaning his stuff well. you know, there is a common denominator here when it comes to flu, COVID-19, and the flu vaccine. Vulnerable populations. Now, we've learned this lesson. Some, I think, still apparently learning it. This issue in particular when it comes to flu, children and older people with these comorbidity issues, you know, this is really where the rubber meets the road in the vulnerable population of Southern Illinois.
Right. So a lot of this is going to sound familiar because of all the talk from COVID over the past 6 months, but influenza, if you take a generally healthy 30, 40-year-old who gets influenza, generally they're going to feel just terrible for a week. They're going to run high fevers. They're going to cough. They're going to have body aches and headaches and be pretty miserable, but generally going to make a full recovery without any issue. Now, that's not everybody. A small percentage of people will get sick enough to go to the hospital, and an even smaller percentage will die, even among young, healthy people. But when you talk about people who are really at risk of having that happen, you're talking about people with respiratory illnesses, people over the age of 65, and of course, the older you get, the worse the risk is, and very young babies. And again, that sounds a lot like COVID, so it's the same vulnerable populations. COVID hasn't seemed to touch children quite nearly as much as influenza does. But yeah, so the especially the older populations that are vulnerable to COVID are also going to be the ones that are vulnerable to the flu.
And you know, when it comes to the state numbers, and the reason why I'm reading these, because I think it's important because of the conversation we're having in the state of Illinois, 335 ICU beds right now filled with COVID-19 patients, 131 on ventilators. And the reason why we talk about flu, because flu sometimes put people in those ICUs. And what the concern is that ICUs, we use the word convergence, filled with ICU patients and COVID-19 and overwhelming the healthcare system. This is one of their big concerns right now when it comes to flu virus.
Correct. So the convergence of flu and COVID, I mean, concerning for several reasons. Again, the diagnostic confusion, which means when somebody presents with typical symptoms, which direction are we doctors going to go? And then the concern that does getting flu or COVID make the person more vulnerable to the other disease? But also, I mean, our resources are stretched a little bit here in Southern Illinois in particular. You know, let's use kind of last week as an example. I think at Memorial Hospital of Carbondale, over the past couple of weeks, there have been times where there have been as many as, I believe, up to about 22 people hospitalized.
You are correct, by the way, too, Jeff.
With COVID. And, okay, there are enough ventilators. You know, there's enough hospital beds to take care of that. But the issue starts to become is we don't have enough nurses. You know, caring for a patient with COVID requires a whole lot of resources, a whole lot more time, just more staff in general. So staff at the hospital gets pulled away from other areas, and the concern becomes all of a sudden we're having to postpone elective surgery. So, you know, your aunt's knee replacement might get bumped down the road. That shoulder surgery to repair a rotator cuff might be bumped down the road. Your kid getting their tonsils taken out because you're going to say, yep, that causes problems, but it's not life-threatening, so that can wait. And we create this backlog of elective procedures that just getting pushed farther and farther down the road because the local healthcare system just doesn't have the personnel and the space. So we're not talking about a situation like in New York where the healthcare system absolutely was overwhelmed, where there literally wasn't enough staff, where there weren't enough hospital beds to take care of people. But we're talking about, you know, the healthcare of certain people is suffering because we're pushing things down the road in order to divert those resources to taking care of people with COVID. And if we have a bad flu season, some of those same resources are going to go towards people with the flu.
it's interesting. The Gates Foundation is now saying what we've already done with COVID-19 has taken healthcare across the world and put it back by 25 years.
Yeah, so over the past 6 months, there's been so much focus on COVID that a lot of other things have had to kind of fall to the wayside. And in a way that I've not ever had to do in my medical career before, there's some triaging that happens, by which I mean just we decide who's really sick enough to need attention now and who needs to wait. That's not something we're accustomed to in America. For any critiques that exist in our healthcare system, generally people having to wait for healthcare it's not a problem that we have here in the United States that other developed countries have. Or at least we don't have that problem to the same degree, I guess is how I should say that.
Right.
But all of a sudden now people are having to wait for healthcare, and it's frustrating the doctors, it's frustrating the patients, again, because just more and more resources go to COVID. And again, the concern is that if there's a really bad flu season, we're going to take even some more of those resources that we're already stretching more so than we usually would, and divert them towards taking care of people with influenza as well. And again, that's another, you know, couple weeks somebody else is waiting for a knee replacement, which pushes somebody else back, et cetera, et cetera. And it'll be a little while on the backside of this before we catch up to all those things.